2,025 families were blessed with a meal. And so just, again, thank you for all your involvement. And let's just give a quick shout out to Amber Lemon. I know she's probably not in the room. Maybe she is. She's probably not. Give it up to her. Amber's our outreach director here at Lay Point, and she's already working on Thanksgiving distribution 2026. So she's already working. It's already happening. And but she's doing a great job, and so thank you again. Hey, it is Christmas here at Lay Point, and it's unmistakably, we can't avoid it, it is Christmas time. Every time you open up the door, there's a Christmas wreath on the door, right? There's the sound of music. It's the music in the elevator that you're walking in, you're trapped in that elevator, and it's the song, Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer, and you're stuck, you're trapped, right? There's the Target you walk in, there's 19 aisles of decorations and Christmas trees and candy canes of all the flavors, right? You go into your favorite coffee shop, and I know the eggnog lattes are back, and at Starbucks, I'm so excited. And I was so, you know, in the first service, I asked how many people are excited about the eggnog latte. I got maybe one or two hands that raised up. So let's just, hopefully, who's an eggnog latte fan in here? A little bit better. The rest of you, bah humbug. So yeah, I don't know, you're missing out, okay? And so, but I'm telling you, I did that in the first service, and then someone texted their husband who was on their way to church and said, hey, get Pastor Scott a eggnog latte. And so I come walking out of this first service, and there was the giant cup of eggnog latte. Listen, I don't drink coffee on Sunday morning because I don't need to get more hyped up, but if I'm a little hyped up here in the second service, just understand I drank the whole thing, all right? It's all gone, all right? It's just there. But it's all this, right? Christmas is here, and it's in full swing. And despite all the noise, all the craziness of Christmas, it really is a great season, right? It's fun, it's nostalgic, it's sacred, and we love it. Why? Why do you love it? Why do you love Christmas? Some of you would say, hey, I love it because of the food. Some would say, hey, I love it because of family. Say, hey, I love it because of the movies. You know, and all the movies that Lifetime and Hallmark, it's all the same storyline, the different characters and different roles, right? But yeah, it's there. You know, we love the music. We love to be able to turn on the radio in the car and play the Christmas music in our houses. We love it. Tradition. We like the lights on people's houses. Some of you love to give gifts. And some of you love to get gifts. You know, some of you love the decorations. Some of you love the cookies and the bacon. Some of you love the fact, and this is true, but you love the fact that calories don't count in December. Right? We get a cheat mark. All right, and it's good. But here's what I've learned about myself over the years. Here's what I've learned. That if I'm not careful, if I'm not intentional, if I don't slow myself down, that I can get so busy with all the things about Christmas that I miss Christ entirely. You can get so caught up in all the noise, in the parties, the shopping, you know, the traditions, all the events, and suddenly Christ moved from the center stage to the backstage. And he's gone. And here's what I want to do in this series. I want to help you do something very simple, but very powerful. And what I want you to do is I want you to stop. I want you to slow down. I want you to breathe. I want you to push the pause button for a little bit. And I want us, in the next couple of weeks, I want us to look past the pageantry, look past the costumes, look past, you know, the Christmas card version of the story. And I want us to look at the real people of the story, the real emotions, the real struggles, and let Jesus speak into the real you. And that's why this series that we're calling it Unfiltered Christmas. Because the original Christmas was raw. It was gritty. It was chaotic. It was messy. It was emotional. In fact, it was full of disappointment and fear and confusion And yes, it was full of hope. And so I want to get behind the scenes. I want to get back there. We want to take a look at these characters that we know about and look at the real story of Christmas and get really behind it. And I want to start off with the couple whose Christmas didn't feel like Christmas at all. Before the angel showed up to the shepherd, you know, before the wise men showed up with their GPS-led star, there's a couple named Zechariah and Elizabeth. And when it comes to Zechariah and Elizabeth, when it comes to Christmas, you know, and all the Christmas plays, Zechariah and Elizabeth don't even make the cut. You don't ever see their role being played out on a Christmas play. In your nativity set that you have home, Zechariah and Elizabeth didn't make the figurine. There's no figurines for them. But their story, from a biblical perspective, it really set the emotional tone for Christmas. And I want to look into their life for a few minutes. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 6. The Bible describes them as this. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. But they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive. And they were both very old. And everybody on the outside is looking into their life, and everybody would say, hey, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're faithful people. They're good people. They're steady. They're respected. They're faithful. They're blessed. They appear blessed. Everybody was from the outside looking in their life. That's what they would see. Everyone would look at their life and say, hey, those two people, they love God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. Those two people, they know God. But behind the scenes, beneath the smiles, there was a deep heartache. Years and decades of disappointment. A prayer that just seemed permanently unanswered. And you know how this works. In a small community like where Elizabeth and Zechariah live, every birth announcement became a reminder of what they didn't have. Every time someone said, hey, we're expecting, it stirred up the pain. Every Mother's Day service, every baby dedication, every time Elizabeth saw another woman, holding a child, the disappointment that brought into the life, it hurt. The pain was real. Their Christmas didn't feel like Christmas. Their story didn't feel like joy. It felt like disappointment. And let's be honest, disappointment can wear you down spiritually. Disappointment over time, it can make you wonder, hey, did God forget about me? Did God know that I'm here? Did God even care? Why is he blessing everyone else but me, right? You know, what about my prayers? What about my pains? What about me? And that's exactly where God shows up here in verse 11. The Bible says the angel of the Lord appeared to him. He appeared to Zechariah. Let me just stop here for a second. Zechariah is a priest. And at this moment, he had one of his rare opportunities to serve in the tabernacle of Jerusalem in the Holy of Holies. This was not something you get to do all the time. This was oftentimes a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And so he's in the Holy of Holies. And he's in there. There's thousands of people outside in the tabernacle floor, worshiping. And he's in there in the Holy of Holies. And remember, the Old Testament laws, there was a lot of rules. If you do one wrong thing, even if you're the priest, you do one wrong thing, and then you die. And so oftentimes they put a rope. They tie a rope around your ankle just in case you don't come out because nobody else was allowed to go in the Holy of Holies. So if you're in there a little too long, they would just kind of tug the rope and say, okay, and they'll start pulling. Thank God I don't have to wear a rope today on the platform, okay? you know, thank God you don't have to yank me off in case something happened. You know, but that was a scenario, and that is where Zechariah is. He is in a privileged opportunity, a privileged place, serving the Lord. And the Bible says that the Lord, the angel of the Lord, appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear because this was not normal. You know, he's like, wait a minute, no one ever told me there was an angel that showed up. None of the other past priests told me that this was going to happen. But there was the angel, and it startled him. And the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. It has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you're going to name him John. And so here's Zechariah, he's hearing this. He said, hey, your prayers have been heard. Your prayer that you prayed years and years and years ago, God heard it. God heard it. But it gives me great joy to know that God always hears your prayers. He hears them. And so God steps into Zechariah and Elizabeth's disappointment before he ever steps into the manger. And so scripture, it gives us more insight into this emotional weight that Zechariah is carrying in this moment. He hears this. Okay, hey, you know, you're going to have a baby. And so Zechariah, he responds. He kind of responds with a little skeptical at this point. It's like, man, we prayed and prayed and prayed to the point where we stopped praying because it was like pointless. You know, we're past the age of childbearing. The Bible said in verse 18 that Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Are you sure? Really? You know, are you messing with me? And he said, I'm an old man. My wife is well along in years. And Gabriel responds with divine authority. He says in verse 19, he said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent. You're not able to speak until this day happen, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. And so God gives Zechariah a season of silence for his initial lack of belief, and also as a sign that God means what he actually said he's going to do. Now, I could just, for a minute, I just kind of put myself in Zechariah's shoes. You know, as an 80% deaf person in my life, I've had multiple times, where people just, you know, strangers, and they see my hearing aids, and they just start, they come right up to me, and they start sign language. And just FYI, I don't know sign language. I just didn't want to be stereotyped as a deaf person, so I never learned it, right? And so it's like, oh, you know, and these people, they're hearing people, they've been practicing their sign language, they're really excited that maybe there's a deaf person here, and they do this, and I look at them and say, yeah, this is not even the real sign language, it's just full stop. You know, I hate to pop your little bubble, but I don't know sign language, and you can see the disappointment. Man, I know, I'm so sorry I ruined the moment for you, but I don't know sign language, you know? And so, but I have, from time to time, you know, especially if I was around another deaf person, from time to time I come across one of them, and now I have to make up sign language. I have to, you know, it's like a game of charade. And, you know, and so I'm doing this, and so I'll just make up sign language. You know, we're trying to communicate with them. And sometimes I just make stuff up. And so, like, for example, this is a, you know what this is? This is a cow, okay? And that's for real. This is the sign language for cow. I know some things, okay? Cow, okay? And I always thought this was a funny sign language for cow, because that's the udder, all right? And so you got the udder of cow. And so I was talking to a deaf person. We were talking about, he wanted, you know, I said, man, I want to get some ice cream. He was like, huh? I said, you know, cream. And he looked at me and was like, what is going on? And it's like, ice cream. Cream. Okay. You know, and so as you can tell, I don't have a lot of deaf friends either. You know, in my Bible college, very strict Bible college I went to. I mean, you know, real strict. And so if you had a boyfriend or a girlfriend, there's no physical touch. You can't hold hands. You know, you can't even shoulder tap. I mean, it's like hands off, okay? Rules, very strict rules. And so there was a sign language that someone was telling me about. And says, God, this right here. Anybody know what this means? This means sweetheart. But in my college, this was called sweetheart, you know. no contact. And so we're just, you know, so we're just making up stuff here, okay? I like to imagine what it was like for Zechariah. He can't talk now. To go home, walk in from his long day, and I'm sure Elizabeth was so excited. Oh, you just had the best day of your life. The pinnacle of your ministry to serve in the Holy of Holies. I can't wait to hear about your day. And Zechariah comes in. He's making up sign language. And Elizabeth, like, what? I said, no, I'm old. Nine. Can you imagine? I mean, for 9 months, that's exactly why I got it. He got to make up sign language. But it was also a sign that God was going to do something. And sure enough, 9 months later, the Bible says in verse 57, when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. God didn't just give them a child. He gave them mercy. God restored their joy. He redeemed years and years of disappointment, and all in one single powerful moment. If you're taking notes, sometimes Christmas doesn't feel like Christmas, but God is working anyway. He always is. He was working in Elizabeth and Zechariah's life. And so right next to their names, right there at the beginning, you see that blank? You thought I missed a blank. I didn't. Go back a little bit and see that blank next to their name. I want you to write the word disappointed. That was the emotion that they brought in to the Christmas story. And that's where Christmas begins, right? It began with this disappointment. It started with joy and the sentiment of warm feelings. It started with disappointment. I want to look at the second character this morning, and his name is Joseph. And Joseph's story starts with a plot twist that makes every Hallmark Christmas movie look boring. It's scandalous, right? Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So Joseph, he gets blindsided. This wasn't a part of his plan. He didn't ask for this. He didn't sign up for this. He didn't prepare for this. And so he's trying to honor God. He wants to build a marriage. He wants to have a family. He wants to be faithful. And then, boom, he gets news that doesn't fit any category that he knows of. It's so out in left field. Mary tries to explain it to him. He used to say, hey, Joseph, honey boo, right? I'm expecting, I'm pregnant, but hey, don't worry, it belongs to God. Right, yeah, sure, right? I'm sure that's what all the thoughts of Joseph say. Are you kidding me? And Joseph, right, he's a good man, he's a just man, but he's also a human man, and he's behind the scenes, he's hurt. He's disappointed, right? He's confused. He's embarrassed. He's afraid. Deeply afraid. So afraid that he decides, hey, we're just going to call this off. And he said, I'm just going to quietly do this. Because he could have been, he could have done things out of rage. He could have had her, you know, taken out. Dead. He could have embarrassed her. He could have protected his name and destroyed her name. But he's afraid. He's afraid of the future. He's afraid of the unknown. He's afraid of what this means. He's afraid of what people will think. And that's when God steps into the story. Look at verse number 20. And after he had considered this, what is he considering? He's considering at this point, I'm going to walk away quietly. We're just going to go a different way. Go my way and she's going to go her path. He's not at this point buying her story. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So Joseph, he's not being asked by the angel just to trust Mary. He's being asked to trust God with the biggest assignment of all mankind. And we see how he responds in verse 24. And when Joseph woke up, he obeyed. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And so we see, Joseph, he obeys, right? But understand that obedience, it doesn't erase the fear. Faith in something doesn't erase the uncertainty. What it does, it brings God into the story. That's what faith does. And so behind the scenes of all of this, Joseph, he still lived with the whispers. He still lived with the judgment of what people thought. And he thought about the lifelong responsibility of raising the Messiah. Joseph, listen, he trusted God. Even at the same time, he was terrified. He was terrified. So I want you to write down the second word, not the Joseph name. And that word is this. It's the word afraid. Joseph's life, it didn't look like the way he thought it was going to come out. It didn't look picture perfect. Not even close. And that's something I think we can all relate to. I know some families, every year they try to get that picture-perfect Christmas photo, right? You got the matching outfit, got your perfect smiles, you got the perfect setting, the perfect place, pick out, you got the photographer, you bring her or him in, and you bring everybody together, you got all the kids, you got the parents, the grandparents, the whole clan. And the thought, I said, man, this is going to be the greatest day. It's going to be wonderful. This is going to be great for the memory. You bring the dog. The dog got a Christmas sweater that matches everybody. And you all show up, right? You probably experienced this. You all show up. You get there. And then life really starts to happen. Everything falls apart. You got that one kid that's frozen. He starts smiling you couldn't even make him laugh for nothing. All right? You got the other kids crying, having a total meltdown, tantrum. And there's someone over here says, just take the baby out. And you're like, no, he's a part of the family. We're not going to take him. We're not going to step him out. We've got to do this. And then, of course, there's the dog. The dog, he's out of control. He sprints out of the picture. Can't get him to calm down. Then there's the wind that kind of blows through, and everyone's hair gets messed up. And there's always that one kid who gets a bloody nose. And he's wearing a white shirt, right? And so you take the picture. And later on in life, you look back at that photo and you realize something. You realize that that perfect picture, it all came together. You know, you made it. But that perfect picture actually kind of told a lie. The unfiltered one that you know about actually told the truth. The messy part of the story told the truth. And that's what real Christmas. See, real Christmas isn't perfect. Real Christmas not polished. It's not filtered. You see, it's God stepping into real life, real struggles, real emotions, real people, into our fears, into our mess, into the chaos. He stepped in, just like he stepped into Zechariah and Elizabeth's disappointment. Just like God stepped into Joseph's fear, and just like he stepped into mine and yours. So let me ask you, what do you feel, let me be honest with yourself, what do you feel behind the scenes, what do you feel this Christmas? When no one's seeing, when no one is looking, but deep in your heart, what do you feel? And maybe you're feeling disappointed. You know, there were plans that you were hoping to have completed by this time of the year and it didn't work out. In fact, it's going the opposite direction, your plans. Or maybe a relationship is broken. Or maybe your prayers were not answered. Life didn't match the picture that you had in your mind and your heart. In your head. Or maybe for some of you, you are feeling afraid. You're afraid of the future. You're afraid of a health report, doctor visit coming up. You're afraid of finances, afraid of change, afraid of something falling apart. You're afraid. Maybe you're here, you feel guilty. You're ashamed. Or maybe you just feel numb. And maybe you're here, you feel all alone. You're lonely. My friend, if your Christmas doesn't feel like Christmas, you're in good company. Because the very first Christmas didn't feel like Christmas either. However, God was there. God was working. God was moving. God was speaking, he was saving, he was redeeming. God met Zechariah and Elizabeth in their disappointments. God met Joseph in his fear. And God will meet you wherever you are today. God doesn't wait for you. He doesn't wait for me to have a Christmas card, Christmas perfect card life. He doesn't wait for that. He stepped into your unfiltered ones. And that's what Christmas is. God with us. God for us. God in our mess. In 1914, World War I was happening. And World War I was just a slugfest of a war. Not a lot of movement, just men in their trenches, dug in. Sometimes 1 year of war only moved a couple yards. In 1914, at Christmas Eve, you've got the German line on one, you've got the British line on the other, and they're dug in their trenches. It's freezing cold. All of these men just sitting there waiting for orders. They're shivering, they're exhausted. They're probably hungry. They're probably thinking about what they're missing at home. For these men, Christmas didn't feel like Christmas in 1914. And at some point in the evening, at Christmas Eve, the British soldiers were just kind of sitting there in their trenches, just shivering. And all of a sudden, they heard a voice from across no man's land. in German, someone singing Silent Night. One voice turns into a couple of voices. Before you know it, they heard the British soldiers, they were hearing the whole German army singing a Silent Night, a Holy Night. All is calm. And the British soldiers, they join in. And they started singing along with them. And on one Christmas Eve night, these men on both sides, enemies, they got out of their trenches and they met in no man's land. They shook hands. They exchanged bread and gave out gifts of chocolate, cigarettes. They show pictures of their families. Some of them play soccer against each other in the snow. They call this the Christmas truce. And for one night, for one holy night, hope broke through disappointment, fear, and war. And that's what Jesus does. He steps into the mess. He brings peace where there should be none. He brings hope when no one expects it. I want to read some verses here that would just perhaps encourage you. Psalm 34, verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And this last verse is the heart of the Christmas story. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Not God far from us, not God beyond us, not God disappointed in us, but God with us. Especially when Christmas doesn't feel like Christmas. Before we pray, I want to guide you. I want to guide you in a moment of prayer based on that wonderful name, Emmanuel. If I was saying it today, talk about it. And I want to talk about that name, Emmanuel. I want us to pray on that. This is what I call a scripture-fed, spirit-led moment where we let God's word shape your prayers. And so I'm going to give you a couple of prompts. And you pray these prompts quietly where you're at, where you're sitting. I'll help you with this, and I'll give you, show you what the prompt is, guide you through it, and I'll let you pray silently right where you're at. Here's the first prompt. Lord, thank you that you are with me, even in my blank. And you fill in the blank, whatever that is. Your disappointment, your fears, your loneliness, your stress, your grief, your questions, your unanswered prayers, your unfiltered reality. Lord, thank you that you are with me, even in my blank. Give you a couple seconds. Just pray that right where you're at. And the second prompt here is simply this. God, because you are with me, I trust you with blank. How do you feel in that blank? It might be a little bit more of that first blank, but maybe a little bit more specific. You know, name that burden. Name that fear. Name that situation behind the scenes of your life that is, seems like it's out of control. Whatever that is, release it to him. Lord, I trust you with blank. And the last one is this. There's no blank, but just pray this prayer silently into your heart. Jesus, help me sense your presence in a fresh way this Christmas. Not the pageantry, not the pressure, not the performance, but your presence. He is Emmanuel, God with us, God with you, right here, right now. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you meet us in the real, unfiltered parts of our lives. Thank you that you are stepping into our lives in every part of it. Thank you for seeing disappointment, for understanding fear, for stepping into our world with love and kindness and compassion. Oh God, thank you that you are Emmanuel, that you are God with us, right where we're at. And so God, we ask you help us to sense your presence in a deeper, clearer way. Speak to us. Lord, lead us. Heal us. Hold us. And help us find hope in the Messiah. We trust you with all the things that we named before you. And God, we rest in the truth that you're always, always with each and every one of us. You're close to the brokenhearted. And so God, help us to sense your presence this Christmas. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.